Welcome to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Whatley, and I'm so thankful that you have joined us this morning. Hunting the Way is a ministry of our Sportsman of Colorado show, heard every Saturday afternoon on our sister station, KLZ 560. Before we get started this morning, once again, I'd like to thank you for the emails and phone calls that we've received over some of our past shows. It's really an encouragement to me to know that our show is a blessing and an encouragement to you. If you would like a podcast of any of our previous shows, it's very simple. Just send me an email at scott@huntingtheway.com, and we will gladly get that to you. We're still getting some emails on the spiritual checkup that my father was on a couple of weeks ago about, and if you would like a copy of that, again, I can be glad to send you that as well. Just send me an email, scott@huntingtheway.com. Our topic today, we're going to pick up where we left off last week a little bit about the family. Our church, First Baptist Church of Englewood, is starting a few week series here on Focus on the Family. And we've already had a great Sunday last Sunday with that, and we're looking forward to the next few weeks. You and I and our children are the products of our homes. And I said this last week, we often fear crime, terrorism, major disease, and yet are complacent when it comes to our families. So once again, from last week, I'll ask you this week, how's your family this morning? Is it strong, vibrant, standing in good relationships with love? Or is it filled with anger, yelling, and desperation? Our families today are under attack like never before. And with that, I would like to bring up our guest today, Pastor David Pittman. He is from Temple Baptist Church in Herndon, Virginia. And full disclosure, my brother-in-law. So, David, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's great to have you. Now, last week I had a guest on that moved from Denver to Seattle. You moved from Dallas to Washington, D.C. So I'm going to tell you the same thing I told him. It had to be God to move
absolutely.
You from cowboy country.
Seattle and up here with all the politicians.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for taking a few minutes to be on today, Dave. And I tell you what, I'd like to start out a little bit with your testimony. And, of course, we've known each other about our whole life. But I think it'd be a great blessing just to share a little bit of your testimony this morning. So go ahead with that.
All righty. I grew up in Dallas, Texas. Our parents, Scott's parents and my parents, were good friends. And I fell in love with Scott's sister while we were at a Christian camp. And we were saved at our home church. And I was baptized, called a priest there, married there. And I knew that the Lord wanted me to serve him. And so this coming June will be 41 years that I've been in the ministry. I was a youth pastor and for 14 years. My wife and I were. And so we really enjoyed serving with young people in youth groups that range from 100 to 500 on Sunday morning. And so we learned an awful lot about watching young people. And my wife and I purposed in our heart that we wanted to have a godly home with godly children more than anything else in the world. And when we saw many of the children we worked with, ages 12 to 18, and the difficulties they had, we began to ask questions. We began to compare to Scripture. And we began to see things that we wanted different in our home.
Mm-hmm.
We saw a few people that had tremendous children and tremendous marriages. And that's what we wanted. Now, I grew up in the construction business. I was a plumber, and my wife's parents were brick masons, so we grew up in the construction business. And so, you know, we were around the kind of people that were not, you know, white-collar people. You hear a lot of things. You see a lot of things from people that are construction environment, the jokes, the words. And I said, you know, I want to be different than that. And so, you know, I just purposed in my heart that I was going to have the kind of home by God's grace that would be pleasing to him. And my wife was exactly the same way. Now, she was 19 when we got married. I was 21. We just graduated from school. And we just set out to have the kind of home. And we started digging in Scripture and trying to figure out what it took. And so, you know, I thought, Scott, today I'd just kind of share with you an acrostic on how to train children, how to teach children. The word, the acrostic, is teach. And I'll go down through each one of those letters to try to give people something that they can sort of hang on to for their homes, things that we have watched and noticed over the really 40 years, 14 years as a youth pastor, now 26 years I've been the senior pastor here at Temple Baptist Church right outside of Washington, D.C.
Okay.
So if that's okay with you, Scott, that's kind of what I'll use as an outline, is to teach.
Absolutely.
Your children and your family. That'd be okay with you?
That'd be great. And by the way, if you're just getting in the car or turning on the radio, you're listening to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Whatley. My guest today, Pastor David Pittman, pastor of Temple Baptist Church in Herndon, Virginia, talking about the family. So if you're home, don't do this while you're driving, but if you're home, pull out a notepad, because this is going to be some great information for you. Okay, Dave, go ahead.
Well, you know, primarily about children. We only have one son. We had a little girl that died at birth 39 years ago, and then our son was born 38 years ago. And the Lord saved him young, and he was called to be a missionary in the eighth grade. And he's been serving as a missionary in Uganda, Africa, just below Sudan, just west of the Congo, way in the bush country, for the last 14 years. I have three grandchildren, very obedient, very godly, and truly make me proud to be their grandparents. And my son, of course, is just all that I could ever ask anyone to be. Finished school. He has three master's degrees. He's working on his doctorate in education so that he can teach people that can't read or write in Uganda, Africa. So I'm very thankful for that. And he gives me the credibility to be able to speak about the home and children, mm-hmm. because he was such an honoring son. And he did what we asked him to do. And it was just such a blessing. So the first thing that I noticed about teaching children, my wife and I both did, was you have to take time. You have to teach them, tell them things over and over again without getting frustrated. There is a point where you say something to a child and it doesn't register, or they do the wrong thing again. And so you have to patiently tell them the same thing over and over again. There's an old axiom in teaching, is repetition aids learning. I don't mean that you have to tell a child 21 times to do something. I just mean that you tell them one time, you expect them to do it, but then you have to have an understanding that as a child, they may not understand fully. You have to work with them. But you tell them what you want them to do, and then you spend time with them. My son and I played so many games of ping pong and basketball and football, throwing the ball around. And we would talk during those times about what you do with your life, how to pick friends, how to pick a girlfriend, how to pick a wife, what kind of school to go to, what kind of degrees and education you would want in college, how to study. We just talked about all kinds of things, and my son became a good friend of mine. We were really best friends. We spent time together, my wife and he spent time together. And to this day, we have a great relationship. I probably talk to him three or four times a week from Uganda, Africa. And so very, very close. But we just continue that time together that is required to train good children. You must spend time. That's one thing a lot of people don't have today.
Sure.
They're busy making money, and that's one thing you have to put a priority on. I'm going to teach my children. That's going to take me time. Does that make sense, Scott?
Absolutely. And you're right. You know, so many of our much of our focus today is on our jobs and running here and there, and everybody's busy, and everybody's got their cell phones and iPads, and we're going 900 miles an hour. And even when you see sometimes parents walking with kids places, they're on the phone. You go to dinners at, you can go to a Chili's restaurant and see a family of four, and all four are the parents and the kids will be on their phones. So just
very
not
true.
Taking that time. Yeah, that's very
yep.
good.
Well, it does take time, and the E in teach with the example. in order, I remember having football coaches that the ones I listened to the most were the ones I respected.
Sure.
The ones that could, you know, explain things and they walked the walk. So I don't think you can tell a child to do what I say, but not do what I do. The Bible is very clear in Proverbs that, you know, a father in Proverbs said, you know, son, listen to what I say. And then it also says, listen to what watch what I do. You know, let's do it together. It is critical that our children respect us. One time years ago, I had about, I don't know how many young people in a room. It was a Sunday. And I had their heads were bowed. And I was just talking to them, sharing my heart with them, and asked them, how many of you would like to have a home like the one you live in? You'd like to have a marriage like your parents. And I was shocked, but only 10% raised their hands. And so that tells me the example is not that important to us as parents. Hmm. But I don't think our children want to follow in our ways and love our God if they don't see the example that our God made a difference in our life. And so I think the E would be example. You know, Scott, I think it is important that you know, we're an example to our children, that our husbands are an example to the wife. Then when we say something, people are willing to listen.
Sure.
Example is critical. I noticed the A in attitude. I think, you know, Daniel is a great example. Daniel had an excellent spirit. And no matter what was taken away from him, his family in chapter 1 and his freedom in chapter 6 and the lion's den, he always had a great spirit. And I think that attitude is something we have to teach our children. I remember when Jeremy was growing up, he was a small child, and I remember he didn't like something his mother said, and he rolled his eyes at her. And she looked at him and said, you roll them right back. That's not right. We're not going to put up with that. And he rolled them right back, just kind of scared, you know. But he learned very quickly on that attitude was critical in order to be pleasing to us.
Right.
And I think attitude's critical to the Lord, too. You know, attitude affects everything we do, and you have to teach with a good attitude and expect a good attitude. It's a part of teaching is, you know, kids got to listen. They listen when they're willing to have a good spirit. We all listen better when we have a good spirit.
Sure.
So it's part of teaching.
And, you know, I think, too, you know, Victoria has this thing, my wife Victoria, just talking about being out there in business, that you're always on stage. And I think that's something that parents always have to remember is, and it kind of goes in with your example and attitude, is, you know, you get in the car after church on a Sunday morning, the parents say things that maybe between them, but adults, kids hear that, and if they're talking about the pastor, the youth pastor, the service, whatever, that all of this ties in. I mean, you could probably do a whole show just on attitude because it covers so much. But, you know, a big warning to parents, just understand that you're always on stage with your kids 24/7.
Absolutely. You know, that attitude is what I noticed as a youth pastor. If I had kids with great spirits, that were obedient, man, they wanted to be involved. They wanted to do whatever, you know, was available to do. They were just excited about spiritual things. I would notice the exact same attitude from their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I noticed a teenager that sort of had a sour attitude, I could look to the parents and, you know, they would complain about things and they would just never really be that happy about certain things. So I did notice a direct correlation between the attitude of the parent and the attitude of the child. And, you know, you can only expect a good attitude from your children if you have one.
Yes.
So, that again, it sort of ties in with teaching, but attitude is a real critical thing. Your attitude says more than your actions many times. Because, you know, teacher may say, I want everybody to sit in their chair. And you can sit in your chair, but your attitude shows all over your face that you're not happy about being there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just makes a difference. If you're going to teach a child, you have to teach them with the right attitude and demand the right attitude back. So that's the A in teach. And then, you know, one that the C is correction. And I think that It's impossible to train good children without having correction, because all of us make mistakes.
Yes.
In Hebrews chapter 12, the Lord says about us as his children, whom the Lord loves, he corrects. So if you love your children, you're going to correct them, because you don't want them to keep doing the same things over and over again. But there's two parts involved in correction. One, the punishment has to be greater than the reward for what they did wrong. Like, you know, if they went and took a cookie and you said, don't do that again or I'll make you have a timeout for 2 minutes, my goodness, I'd just take a 20-minute timeout and eat six cookies. That'd be all right with me.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So you have to make the punishment something that they say, I don't want to do that again. You know, the Lord did that with Jonah. And, man, he jumped up and said, I'll go tell the Ninevites whatever you want me to tell them. He did that with many people in Scripture because, you know, correction is imperative for all of us. I mean, I watched, you know, football games. I noticed there was a player that jumped over the goal line and took the ball and pushed it over the goal line. Well, he jumped over the pile and he got knocked out. It was a touchdown, but it was so close, had to go review. And the coach had told him, don't do that. Well, the next thing I noticed, he's on the bench. And the next guy's running. That's correction. So it happens in all areas of life.
Sure.
We have to do it with our children young, or they won't listen when they're old. To me, it'd be a lot better to learn that lesson where I don't get benched making, you know, $10 million a year that I get benched by the NFL or some conduct policy where I lose millions, such as many players. It'd be a lot better if we'd do our children a service. We'd teach them and correct them while they're young. And, you know, another part of correction is compliments. Son, you did a good job with that. It's a reinforcement of things that they do right. And so I think it's a part of correction is when you have a great incentive not to do wrong.
Right.
And I think that's one that parents, a lot of times, either they are too complimentary, the kid does everything perfect when they know he doesn't, or they're too correcting, everything is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a balance there where they want to do what's right, they delight in doing what's right because of the compliment they're going to get, and they don't want to do what's wrong because of the correction they're going to get. So correction is critical to training godly children. And, you know, I think if we don't have correction, you will not have good children. It's impossible.
Yeah, I agree.
And I noticed in a family of three, if there was a child that was a favorite, or if there was a child that they didn't expect anything from any of them, many times the parent would lose two of the three children, when I say lose them, to the world, just not have a godly heart, not be truthful all the time. They weren't necessarily bad kids, but they're not kids that you'd want your daughter to marry.
Sure.
They would lie a little bit. They would, you know, they'd cheat on their exams a little bit. They would lie to their parents. And so that's the reason why it's important to have this burden and this goal. I want to teach my children right. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says, if you love me, you'll notice the next verses, teach your children right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all a part of it. And I notice the last thing, the H in teaching, is we have to teach our children there's always a harvest to what they do. There's always a reward. You know, payday is always coming. If you do what's right, you know, the Lord will bless you. The Lord says in Hebrews 9, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't do what's right, there's a judgment coming. If we never trust Christ as our Savior, there's an appointed time that those people have to stand before the Lord and give an account of why they rejected Christ. And if we did do what's right, there's the judgment seat of Christ, that we receive rewards for the things we did right. As little as a cold cup of water given in Jesus' name receives a harvest, receives a reward. So if you're going to teach your children, you have to teach them that payday always comes. I think whenever you get started on homework and you're really working in homework and, you know, you get tired of doing it, you're going to school and you're kind of bogged down a little bit, you have to teach them one of these days you'll be thankful for doing this. And they have to believe that. Otherwise, you know, you get tired. And knowing there's a harvest coming gives you the encouragement to go on. And so that's a part of teaching children. You know, son, if you learn to obey, I'll get you a car when you're 16. May not be a new car, but, you know, I'll help you get a car. I want you to be able to drive well, but I've got to be able to trust you first. Well, there's a reward coming. So, you know, they learn to obey. They learn to do what's right. And you know what? They don't get a bunch of tickets when they get that car because they learned that they need to obey. They obey everybody all the way up the level. Obey my parents. Obey the police officer. Obey the Lord. When you teach your children, there's a harvest coming. It gives them the encouragement and the incentive to do what's right. I think a lot of times we don't mention much about the harvest. We just tell them, you got to do what's right. Hey, why are you doing that? And, you know, all of us need the encouragement of payday.
Sure.
I mean, all of us, if you got a job, how many of us would be at our job if you didn't get paid? Well, you know, payday coming on Friday, that makes it all worthwhile. I love serving the Lord in this church, and I've often said I'd love to be able to do it for nothing. One of these days, maybe I can, because it's not about the money. It's about the reward of helping people, of being able to lay my head down at night and thinking I did what the Lord wanted me to do. I was pleasing to Him. That's a part of the harvest, is peace in your heart. Kids need to know that. And they need to feel good about themselves when they've done right. They need to understand that's a part of the reward that God gives. A lot of people live without peace because they're not obedient. And so it's a part of training godly children. You know, we look back, and when Susan and I talked about our children when they were young, we purposed in our heart we didn't want to look back and say, I wish we'd have done this and I wish we'd have done that. Now, we made mistakes, but we tried to correct them quickly and abide by this little guideline here to teach your children. And we're very thankful for that. You know, we weren't perfect, but the Lord steps in, and He blesses even our imperfections.
Absolutely.
He uses our weaknesses as long as we have this burning desire, be a good parent, and I'll do whatever it takes to be a good parent. And so I hope the teaching, the word teach, the acrostic, would help someone to realize they do have to spend time with their children, and, you know, they do have to be an example, and their attitude is critical, and the attitude they expect of their children. They got to be parents that correct their children and compliment their children, and that there's always a harvest coming. I hope that helps, Scott.
Well, it does, Dave. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Whiteley. My guest today is actually my brother-in-law, Pastor David Pittman, in Temple Baptist Church in Herndon, Virginia. If you're ever in that area, the Washington, D.C. area, and looking for a good church, highly recommend you can go on and find them on their website as well. For Temple Baptist Church in Herndon, Virginia, they've been there over 25 years and have just done a tremendous work there. The Lord's really blessed. And you know, Dave, as you were going through that, and I think I like how this really goes down to the end of the harvest, and then you explain that to your kids, because I think once you've done all these other things, then another T word that comes to my mind is you've got their trust, because you've gone through these steps, because then they know that, you know what, you've done all these other things, and now I can trust my parents because of all this other foundation you've laid.
Absolutely. You're 100%
yeah,
right.
And I think that's a great thing. In our last couple of minutes, you know, this is on a personal note, and I don't see any tissues in here, so I'm going to have to be careful how far I want to go into this from a personal note. But, you know, as David mentioned, we grew up in a great Christian atmosphere, and I had a a church life and not a changed life. And went down many roads. And one reason I picked the name for this show, Hunting the Way, is because, you know, I knew the way. I from kind of pulling over from our Sportsman of Colorado show, and if you're a hunter, you'll understand this. You've got guides out there that you trust that will take you the right way. I had all the great guides in my life. I had all the instruction. I had everything laid before me, but I chose different paths and have no one to blame for that but myself. But I just personally and publicly want to thank you and Susan for never giving up and praying for me. And it's just something now that the Lord has put together that has really been a great, amazing thing. And we were kind of joking a few minutes before the show. I asked Dave a few years ago if he'd ever dreamed he'd be doing a Christian radio broadcast with me. And he said, not on your life. And I get that because, again, just choices. But it's just an amazing thing. And you know what? If you're listening to this and you think, my family's a mess, I don't know what to do, I will tell you this. God is in, and I'll use a Texas word here, fixing. God is in the fixing business. And if you will find a good church and find a good church home that you can go to where that you can get involved, I would highly recommend that. As I mentioned, the reason why we're doing this on the family is my church, First Baptist Church of Englewood here in the Denver area, 3190 South Broadway. We're there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And you say, I didn't know people had church on Sunday night and Wednesday night anymore. Well, you're right. That has happened a lot. But we do. We would love to have you come visit Sunday morning. Our Sunday school hour is at 10 a.m. Our Sunday morning service, 11. Sunday night at 6 and Wednesdays at 7. And we'd love to invite you to have us come. Well, David, thanks again for being with us today, and we will absolutely do this again, and I sure appreciate it.
Yes, you're welcome. Thanks for having me on. And Scott, we're sure proud of you, Susan and I are. The Lord can do miracles.
Well, he sure can. I promise you that. And thanks again, and thank you for listening today for Hunting the Way. Again, if you'd like a copy of today's broadcast, send me an email, scott@huntingtheway.com. Thanks for joining us, and remember, God's way is the best way. Have a great day.